Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. From the Irony Files, the security researcher who found the kill switch for WannaCry has now been arrested for creating an unrelated malware. IBM scientists have set a new world record storing 330 terabytes of uncompressed data in one tape. Wayland has been confirmed as the default display server for Ubuntu 17.10. Canadian ISPs don't mess around. An entrepreneur accused of piracy for his Kodi add-on website has been grilled in his home for hours, and not by the cops, but by pushy company reps for cable TV and ISP companies. And the U.S. Army has banned DJI drones over security control concerns. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Now here's another great way you can support the shows you love from the Category5.tv network by shopping at GearBest.
That's right, Jeff. Cat5.tv/GearBest. It's an online store for the geek streak in you.
Or the loved ones.
Well, of course. I mean, especially your loved ones, right? Because Cat5.tv/GearBest, quite frankly, has all of the greatest tech gifts that you could ever hope for at rock-bottom prices.
Do they have cell phones?
You betcha. Cat5.tv/GearBest has a wide assortment of unlocked Android cell phones and tablets.
What about consumer electronics? Those make a great gift.
Absolutely. From high-tech watches to action cameras, headphones, even virtual reality headsets. Cat5.tv/GearBest has you covered. They literally have it all, Jeff. Literally.
Really?
It's like a superstore right from the comfort of your own chair at your computer through the interweb.
Yeah, there's no way they have it all.
It's true.
It's just a bunch of random electronics.
Test me.
What about clothes?
Yep, both men and women, fashionable apparel at rock bottom, super duper prices.
Kind of like this?
Well, look at this coat. What do you think? It's a slimming mock leather jacket.
I love it.
It's available for less than $30 plus free shipping at cat5.tv/gearbest.
All right. You kind of got me there.
Wow. Any other questions for me, Jeff?
Now that the winter has passed, flying season, do they have any good deals on, say, drone copters?
Oh, my goodness. Well, check this out. Dude, they have everything. Check out over 500 various drones. And not only that, they're available marked down by about 30 to up to 63% off the regular price.
Love it. What's the website again?
Well, you're going to find GearBest on our partners' pages for any of your favorite Category 5 TV shows like New Every Day, Category 5 Technology TV, The Pixel Shadow. But of course, if you want to shop absolutely right now and you want to go straight to the site, all you have to do is visit cat5.tv/GearBest.
See, that's easy. Cat5.tv/GearBest.
That's right. Happy shopping.
I'm Sasha Dermatis, and here are the top stories for the week of August 9th, 2017. Remember Marcus Hutchins, the security researcher who single-handedly found and used the WannaCry kill switch? Well, he has now been arrested and charged with unrelated malware offenses in the U.S. Not so long ago, Marcus Hutchins, a 23-year-old British security researcher with the blog name Malware Tech, became an accidental hero when he discovered an effective kill switch to stop the biggest, unprecedented WannaCry ransomware attack that had crippled thousands of computers. The ransomware spread to more than 300,000 computers across 150 countries around the world in May 2017. However, this savior was arrested last Wednesday at the Black Hat and DEF CON cybersecurity conference as part of an FBI investigation for his alleged involvement in an unrelated malware attack much before his WannaCry heroics. Apparently, Hutchins is involved in creating and distributing malicious software Kronos, a Russian banking Trojan, through emails with malicious attachments to steal users' money using credentials such as internet banking passwords, the U.S. authorities said on Thursday. According to an indictment released by the U.S. Department of Justice, Hutchins faces six counts of helping to create, spread, and maintain the banking Trojan Kronos between 2014 and 2015. The indictment alleged that Hutchins created the Kronos malware and the other person, who was not named, later sold it for $2,000 online. The malware had been configured to access username and password information on banking websites and was used in Canada, Germany, Poland, France, the UK, and other countries. The UK's National Cybersecurity Center said that we are aware of the situation and this is a law enforcement matter and it would be inappropriate to comment further. Digital rights group, the Electronics Frontier Foundation, said it was deeply concerned with his arrest, whilst Naomi Colvin from Civil Liberties Campaign Group Courage said Mr. Hutchins did the world an enormous service when he stopped the WannaCry attack. So I just want to just say quickly, just if I were his defense lawyer, I would say, well, yes, he did this really bad thing, and it is a really bad thing he did. But perhaps he felt so guilty about it that he decided to change his ways and decided to live on the light side. Because it would be different if he did the bad thing after the good thing.
Are you suggesting that he's Darth Vader? And, like, in the end, like, he threw the virus the off the...
Wait, I don't know the end.
Railing?
Spoiler alert.
No, you're out of context.
It's his father.
The virus is his father. I don't know.
So I just feel like what he did for the WannaCry was amazing.
It was his redemption story?
Yes. It probably would have been best, honesty is best policy, if he said in his press conference after that. So what I was doing was redeeming myself. You may have heard of this this Kronos Trojan. That was me, and I'm so sorry, please. FBI would be like, I don't know what to do anymore.
My son, when he was about 6 years old, he came downstairs, and he's covered in shaving cream.
Oh, yes.
And he said to me, and we're trying not to laugh, he's just covered, and he says, Dad, I did a bad thing. And it's just like, okay, maybe that's what he might have done in hindsight.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, while I'm your hero, let me tell you a little something.
Yeah. That's tough because his involvement in Kronos was very major. Like, it's not like he was just some guy.
He created.
May have been a part of it. No, he was like the creator.
He is the creator. Yeah. And so he didn't sell it. Somebody else sold it for... Mm-hmm. Only $2,000, which is crazy, but also.
It's a tough thing. Where are the lines? Where are the lines? Because ethical hacking, you can hack for the good. And, you know, what he did with WannaCry, fantastic.
Yeah, so has he changed his ways?
Or is it just another hack?
Well, really,
or is he just like a hack
one's
addict?
One's good, one's bad, as far as, you know, our measuring system goes.
Well, that's the thing, is that people say that hackers are like white blood cells on the internet, you know? Like, they help, like... They get into places and they help solve problems like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
So it's just like, there is ethical hacking. But then it's like, you get into like the whole like double-edged sword. And
exactly. I don't want anybody accessing my banking information.
Except you.
Except me. And sometimes I forget my password.
Call this guy. He can give it to you.
That's right. Scientists at IBM Research have created a new world record for storing over 330 terabytes of uncompressed data on a single tape cartridge that can easily fit into the palm of a person's hand.
Wait. A tape?
330 terabytes.
We're still using tapes?
Here we are.
We were
in this story, we use tapes.
I showed my kids what a cassette was. The other day.
Did it blow their mind?
My son, the shaving cream boy, he said,
smart one.
What is that? just like that.
Yeah.
Here we are doing 330 terabytes.
I know, and the thing is, I had an 8-track when I was a kid.
Oh, of course you did.
Okay, this storage capacity is more than the world's biggest hard drives. The record set by IBM in collaboration with Sony Storage Media Solutions can support data storage densities of 201 gigabytes per square inch, which is more than 20 times the density of commercial tape drives that hold data between 5 gigabytes and 7 gigabytes per square inch.
What?
Yeah, the researchers showcased this feat at the 28th Magnetic Recording Conference in Japan.
And I was thinking I was going to go to that.
I just love that they have a conference called the Magnetic Recording Conference.
That's awesome.
Held in Japan. This is the fifth time that IBM scientists have set a world record of tape storage since 2006, when at that time, density was a measly 6.67 gigabytes per square inch with a total cartridge capacity of 8 terabytes. The last time IBM announced it had made advancements in the space was 2015, when the cartridge capacity was 220 terabytes and 123 gigabytes per square inch. The achievement by IBM comes as good news for cloud service providers who need to back up and store ever-expanding volumes of information from big data applications ranging to scientific research to security and surveillance videos all the time. In order to develop the new tape-based storage prototype and to achieve the 201 gigabytes per square inch, IBM researchers had to develop several new technologies. IBM made use of its reading and writing technology with Sony's sputtered magnetic tape to store data. Sputtering involves coating the storage medium with several nanometer thin layers of different conducting materials, including a 5-nanometer overcoat of diamond-like carbon. The scientists also use several layers of nanoparticles to extend the tape length. Furthermore, IBM also incorporated their advanced servo control technologies and innovative signal processing algorithms. IBM exploratory tape scientist Mark Lantz said this really demonstrates the potential to continue scaling tape technology basically at historical rates of doubling the cartridge capacity every 2 years for at least the next 10 years.
Wow.
That's really good news for our customers that could rely on tape technology. It's kind of an integral part of their storage infrastructure to really preserve their data in a cost-effective manner.
Did anyone else own a VIC-20? You didn't.
I did.
No. Did you own a VIC-20? Do you remember the cassettes? Do you remember the tapes? Unbelievable.
Were they like a few kilobytes?
If even that. I mean, you'd put a cassette tape in and you'd just record, and it used audio to save the data.
I think it's cool. Like, I don't understand the layers, but it's cool that they have the sputtering thing, which means I think that they can have data, like, on layers on the tape.
I would assume that they have to have some kind of read heads that can read at different densities.
Yeah.
So you'd be looking at like 201 gigabytes per square inch.
What is a conference like this like?
Think about that, folks. 201 gigabytes in this much space.
Yeah.
So it's like
on
not
a thin little piece of plastic.
I mean, they're measuring in nanometers, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's like
crazy.
Not sure what that is.
That's tiny.
Imperial.
That's like
you can't even measure that. It's like
like little nanometers.
With your finger. Your fingers.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
gotcha. I understand.
Although always the ultimate plan, Ubuntu devs expressed doubt about making the switch to Wayland last month, with Will Cook, Ubuntu's desktop team leader, saying he felt Wayland isn't ready yet. But several weeks later, after a lot of testing, a decision is now in place. Ubuntu 17.10 will ship with Wayland as the default session. If you're an NVIDIA user, a big gamer, or happen to be using hardware that this next-gen display server tech doesn't yet play nice with, do not panic. Although Wayland will be default, it isn't compulsory. Ubuntu will still have an X session available out of the box, ready to roll a click or two away. And that should come as a huge relief for the majority who feel that Wayland doesn't currently work well enough to be a daily driver. Have you tried Ubuntu on Wayland yet? What's your experience been like? Let us know by sharing your comments below. If you thought American or British copyright fights were petty, consider the case of Canadian Adam Lachman, who had a bailiff, lawyers, and computer experts burst into his home, seize his gear, and grill him for hours. Lachman, a self-described tech entrepreneur, hosts the TV Add-ons website, which links to add-ons for Kodi, the open-source media player suite formerly known as XBMC. Typically, you install Kodi on a little gadget that plugs into your TV so you can watch stuff from files or streamed over the internet. People install add-ons, such as those indexed by TV add-ons, to scrape video from places like BBC's iPlayer and ESPN and then show them on their televisions. Broadcasters and commercial content creators love to hate Kodi and its unofficial add-ons because the software can be used by viewers to bypass DRM and region locks to stream and pirate stuff they shouldn't. There's an ongoing battle against equipment makers that help folks rip off material online, and Kodi is often at its the center of it. The case against Lachman rests on claims that 23 of more than 1,500 add-ons listed on his site can be used for copyright infringement. Amid a civil court battle brought against him by Canadian cable giants, lawyers and IT experts on behalf of the TV and broadband companies, his home was invaded in a move later ruled unlawful. First, a lawsuit was filed by Bell, Rogers, and Videotron against the TV add-ons creator, alleging copyright infringement. They then obtained a court order which allowed a plaintiff to enter the premises to preserve evidence in a civil case. After getting the order, a bailiff, two computer technicians, an independent counsel to oversee the order's execution, and a lawyer representing Bell, Rogers, and Videotron knocked on the door of Lachman's home and began questioning him. 16 hours later, they were still there, and had subjected Lachman to many hours of grilling. Lachman says, at this point, there is no choice but to fight. At this point, he is already $100,000 in the hole for legal fees, and he still can't get his computer equipment and phones back just yet, because even though the courts have since ruled in his favor, the plaintiffs have filed an appeal. Lachman set up an Indiegogo page to tell his side of the story and fund his defense against the telecom giants. More than $25,000 US has been raised so far. In the meantime, Lachman has resurrected the TV add-ons website. I will just like maybe mention a little bit that $25,000 US, which is a lot
like
more,
$1 million.
$1 million Canadian.
Yeah.
So these are people who likely are pirating shows because they don't want to pay their cable bill, but they're willing to pay for this guy's defense.
Yeah. It's a matter of ethics.
It's funny.
The irony in it.
I know. I mean, Kodi can be used for non-piratey things.
We have a Kodi channel.
Yeah.
We give it to you free.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's not Kodi itself that's the problem. It's the fact that this guy has these add-ons that can be perhaps infringing on some copyright
issues. It's a modular
system.
It would be like saying, you know, let's sue Microsoft. Let's shut down Microsoft because on Microsoft Windows, there's a bunch of pirated games.
Like, yeah, and you can like download BitTorrent and like get torrents from stuff and
exactly. Come on.
Well, that's
the
thing.
You gotta understand the infrastructure.
That operator of the sentence. It's like it can be used for negative things, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like what a lot of things can be used for bad things. It depends on people, right? Mm-hmm. So it's hard. It's a double-edged sword in this fight, right? So
I feel like going into a guy's house and grilling him for 16 hours is not a very Canadian move.
No.
I hope they apologized.
They probably did.
Yeah.
It's maple syrup.
We're so sorry to bother you. Would you mind having a seat?
Yes,
can I get you something to
drink?
That's
the Canadian grilling. There you go. No, sorry. We misread that. They actually grilled him some pancakes.
That's right.
Yeah. Canadian bacon.
The U.S. Army has ordered its members to stop using drones made by Chinese manufacturer SZDJI Technology Company Limited because of cyber vulnerabilities in the products. An Army memo posted and verified last week forbids the use of all DJI drones and even systems that use DJI components or software. It requires service members to cease all use, uninstall all DJI applications, remove all batteries and storage, media, and secure equipment for follow-on direction. The memo says DJI drones are the most widely used by the Army among off-the-shelf equipment of that type. DJI said in a statement that it was surprised and disappointed at the Army's unprompted restriction on the DJI drones, as we were not consulted during their decision. The privately held company said that it would contact the Army to determine what it means by cyber vulnerabilities and was willing to work with the Pentagon to address concerns. The move appears to follow studies conducted by the Army Research Laboratory and the Navy that said that there were risks and vulnerability in DJI products. The memo cites a classified Army Research Laboratory report and a Navy memo, both from May, as references for the order to cease use of DJI drones and related equipment. I just watched the Snowden movie, so now I just feel like everybody's spying on everybody. Right. I just really just feel like...
paranoid?
Perhaps. I'm not the right person to comment on this, because probably...
I think Henry might be.
I can go for hours about this. But like,
so
but we looked
it?
At, we looked at, remember, the DJI Osmo camera.
Yeah.
So the camera would be affected,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that would be banned, too. Well, it's funny, because two things. Firstly,
I like that one.
It's like, name an electronic device that isn't built in China or uses... like servers in China, things like that nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like you're banning like a device, so let's say like a drone or whatever, from like the Department of National Defense because it might be used against you. But the thing is that like they've had like instances where people can hack into like their multi-million dollar like predator drones, right?
Sure.
So it's just like their main concern is like security, especially when it comes to that, because it's like, oh well, maybe the Chinese military might hack into this or things like that.
Well, you fly DJI.
Yeah, exactly.
So how much... Now, I know with the Osmo camera, I had to activate an app.
Yeah, so you have like a... it's a free app that you download, right?
So what is this app doing that's calling?
Yeah, what are in the permissions of that
exactly,
free app?
Exactly, if you read the small permissions, right? Because they might collect like usage data, things like that.
Well, they've got geolocation data.
Yeah, exactly, right? So like you have geofencing and things like that, right? Mm-hmm. So... and then at the end of the day, you have like your flight logs. So like where you flew, how long you flew, things like that.
What were you doing?
Exactly. If you're on a military base and it's like you're doing like a exercise and if somebody hacks into your account, can they see like where you did stuff, things like that, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is that it's like it's not just DJI though. It's like there's so many other drone companies out there that have networked drones like this.
Sure.
So like you might like see Parrot or like all the other like hundreds of other operators like creations out there.
Yeah, I don't fly such sophisticated drones, but you know, thinking about the cameras and thinking about how, you know, the Sony camera has a built-in GPS, my phone has a built-in GPS.
Yeah.
You wear a Fitbit.
Yeah.
And you know, so all of this data is being collected anyways. So
it's all in the cloud somewhere, right? And it really is like, where are the servers? And it's like, are there copies of the data?
And, more so than where are they? Because we pretty much know where they are. Mm-hmm. They're going to be where it's cheap to host it.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And so what are the security measures that are in place in order to protect confidential information? And if it's government data, how much control do they have over the security of that data?
That's the thing, right? Like, I'm really interested to see where the story goes, because it's like, I have friends in the military, and they take pictures and stuff all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure,
so
yeah.
Just like, I know this is just for the U.S., but are other countries going to follow suit, or will DJI talk to, like, the American military and kind of sort this out?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm interested to see where this goes.
Yeah, we'll certainly hear over the next little while with DJI approaching them. I think about police, too, that are using DJI devices in order to track down criminals and, you know, chase... bad guys.
So it's a double-edged sword.
Find lost animals. And
same time, you could bring drugs into prison, though, using drones. Not recommending it. But
yeah. Not recommending it.
It could be done.
It could happen.
It could be done.
Yeah, but again, it's double-edged sword, right? Like, it's amazing technology. Let's use it for good people.
That's
and
true.
Deliver donuts to people. That'll be nice.
That's great.
Sorry.
Big thanks this week to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Dermatis.